you for joining us here at the Church of Salvation Healing and Deliverance for another biblical message. Should you desire to contact us, our email is cof.hkd7@gmail.com, and our website is cof-hkd.org. And you can pass this along for free and in original condition. I am Pastor T. John Franklin, and may our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you and yours. And good evening, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here this evening as we're going to be continuing in the Gospel of John, Chapter 9. In fact, picking it up at say verse 25, but first we'll just start with a word of prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and guided by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Lord, we do bless and praise and glorify you. We thank you again for the blessings you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of having a service here, because, Lord, we know there's millions of believers around the world who don't have this same opportunity. Lord, we lift up to you the persecuted believers right now in faraway lands. But Lord, there's even some that are close by who, through things that are happening to them, through natural disasters, you might say, Lord, don't have it. You might say the best basics of life. So Lord, we pray for blessings on those that are close by to us, as well as those around the other side of the world. In fact, Lord, we ask you to multiply blessings and then send legions of angels to them. Hebrews 1:14, their ministering spirit saves us salvation. Also, ask, Lord, you provide the basics for them there as well, too, miraculously, as you took care of your people in the wilderness for 40 years. And ask them, Lord, that you would indeed take care of them that way. And also give them a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit there as well, too. And Lord, for the persecuted believers who are in fear for their lives, and praying you'd hide them in the palms of your hand, that their adversaries not be able to find them. But Lord, we do ask your blessings on this scripture tonight. We ask that you would reveal your meanings, open our eyes to see the truth, and help us to put them into effect there as well, too. In the name and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the strong and all evil ones, which all of us partake of it here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break all curses, device, witchcraft, psychic prayers, honor against us, and I return them immediately to the original demonic center. I do cover us with the blood of Lord Jesus. In fact, ask, Lord, you take away any blinders, blockers that might be on our eyes, ears, and minds. Take away that spirit of slumber. Also, Lord, let all the godly seed sown in our hearts be sealed up. The devil can't mess it up. And in Jesus' name, I do loose legions of the righteous spirits, Lord, especially the seven spirits of God, Isaiah 11:2, and the spirit of Elijah. And so, Lord, we do thank you again for all the blessings you sent. In Jesus' mighty name and by his blood. Amen. Well, again, John chapter 9. I like this one. This is the man who's been born blind from birth. And it was for a special purpose that God had planned right since the beginning of time. Our Lord Jesus said, it wasn't for anybody's sin that he was born that way, but that God could be glorified. And this is how the whole event is unfolding here. The man has been, he's been healed. And you can tell, well, he's real happy. I mean, if you were born blind, you know, and you're healed, it is a big thing. You see, with any other basic kind of injury or disease, you still have some sort of functionality, but when you're blind, you know, people, human beings are mainly visual creatures. You know, most of our sensory information, like two-thirds of it, comes through the eye. So, you know, when you don't have your sight, it really limits you. You know, you need your eyes for walking, because if you can't see where you're going, then you could trip and fall and whole host of other things. Now, your hearing does pick up a bit better if you can't see, but, you know, we are basically visual creatures, and it makes a big difference. I have noticed that myself there as well, too, but, hey, Lord willing, that'll all be cleared up someday. Still keep praying, though. That's the main thing. Be like that persistent widow. You have problems, don't just pray once. You know, got to keep doing it day after day. And the Lord, in His time, will work something out. And until then, He'll give you grace to be able to get through. Remember Paul. He had that thorn in his side, the messenger of the devil. He prays to have it removed, and God says, no. That's there. So if you're going to learn, my grace is sufficient. Because imagine what Paul would have been like. You know, he would have been going on, hey, I'm the king's kid. I've had visions of heaven. God's got a plan for my life. Yeah, he would have been so full of pride. But with this, it was a real debilitating factor for him. And it kind of knocked him off his high horse. Well, I think we're picking it up here in verse 25. Remember, the religious authorities are interrogating this man. They don't believe he was born blind. They couldn't knock his story. They went after his parents. Well, they couldn't knock his parents' story. So they're going after him again. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And you know, isn't that really the end of it all? Eh? The man was born blind and now he can see. How many people does the devil persuade that God never did anything for them? Well, you know, you really have to take a stock of all the blessings. You know, there's that little song, Count Your Blessings. And when people do, you'd be surprised. Well, he gave us another day. Most of us are not in the hospital or in prison. No, our belief is in prison. And also, you know, we're not like many people are in the third world who have next to nothing. You know, the Lord has provided abundantly. There's, unfortunately, people fall through the cracks, but on the whole, most people do have enough of the basics and then a lot more besides that. So we really should be counting our blessings and thanking our Lord for them as well, too, because ingratitude, they say, is one of the first steps on the slide away from our Lord, to slide into apostasy. And if people can look around God's wonderful creation and not find anything to thank Him for, it shows how blind they are to what's really going on. Well, he's just given him this answer. And that's really causing them fun, because what can they say to that? Well, then, said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? You know, they're trying to force on him that Jesus Christ was a sinner, and he's not gonna go for that, as he says, you know, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But we do know that our Lord Jesus Christ didn't sin. Thankfully, he was the only one who could say that, and therefore his blood was the only blood that was pure and precious, was the only one that was good enough to pay the penalty for our sins. Well, as they're trying to get at him, what did he do to thee? They thought, you know, maybe like Simon Magus, you had to get something extra. Now, one of the commentators said that these guys in the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they were all pretty much well-versed in the occult arts, for one thing or another. Maybe they were trying to find out, well, what did he do? Did he have a secret potion? Did he have a special wand that we don't know of? You know, as I said, Simon Magus, he wanted to buy that special power that when the apostles laid their hands on people, you know, they were being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, our Lord didn't have any special gimmick. You know, a lot of movies that show the character playing Jesus, when he's going to heal somebody, you know, the hold the hand up in the air with the fingers sort of curved, you know, sun shining through it. Almost reminds me of a claw there, you know. But, you know, it's not the magical power through the hand, you see, because that's another occult thing. There are, in the occult field, they feel that there is this universal energy working through their hands, and a lot of them will say their hands get warm, or when they pray or touch the other people, the other people say, oh, their hands are really hot, and, our Lord doesn't need that kind of stuff, because many people he healed at a distance. He didn't touch them with his hands. He didn't hold his hands up in front of the sun, sort of like imparting this universal energy upon them. Anyway, that's the counterfeit. And of course, there's the cases where he cast out the demons to effect the healing. Well, again, the man responds. He answered them, I have told you already what he did, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Now this is interesting. You notice the man is standing up to them. He is not being cowed with fear. You see, in this kind of rigid theological society, as it's going to happen to the man there a few verses down the line, he's going to get excommunicated. And that is really powerful stuff. Even in today's day and age, the Roman Catholics, if they deny the faith or if they fall out of favor, they can get excommunicated. They can kick out. For anyone in that position, that means, hey, you're going to hell. And there are curses of excommunications put on Protestants. You can find that in a number of their books. I know in Wynne Worley's little book put on Roman Catholicism, he has reprinted it there, and you can see it. There's a curse coming against Protestants there as well, too. And they're still hoping that by the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, that all the churches are going to go back to Rome. Well, that's going to be in 2017. That's like 5 years down the road. So there's going to be a lot of things pulling together in the next few years to try and bring this thing about. Probably it will involve a new pope. They just brought in a whole bunch of new cardinals there a few weeks ago, eh? So I'm sure the maneuverings behind the scenes are beginning to select a new one whenever the occasion is there. Some we should be finding and losing over starting right now. Well, they aren't able to shake the man. He's not being brash in his response. There is a verse in the Old Testament that tells how you should be in a situation like this. I read in the news that there is a woman on an airplane. She painted her nails. I don't know, their fingernails or toenails or whatever. She was arrested and interrogated for 10 hours. Because there's this bit with a guy who was trying to light his shoelaces a few years ago because he had explosives. Maybe they thought, hey, she's going to do something here. So, that's how paranoid a lot of people are out there. But this man, he sort of put Proverbs 15 verse 1 into effect. Proverbs 15 verse 1. You see, that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so, if you ever find yourself in a similar kind of situation, number one, don't lose your cool. Don't let them frazz you, because that's one of their, you might say, control tactics, to get you to lose your composure so they can then, try and get more information out of you, rattle you loose. If you do traveling, like if you go over international borders, whatever, go through airports, and you run into this quite a lot there. But it's important, be firm. Don't be aggressive or don't be passive, but be assertive. As the man was here, he was giving answers, and he was definitely standing up to them. And of course, you know, you find yourself in a situation like that, definitely do binding and loosing there as well too. That is important as well. And the man says, I told you, but you did not listen. You see, they weren't wanting to hear the truth. They were trying to maneuver him into a confession so they could then get the Lord Jesus. They were probably hoping this man would say, oh, he did an abracadabra or something, and say, aha, he's using witchcraft, and then we'll take him out and stone him, or whatever the case may be. But they couldn't get that evidence out of him. And I like how the man turns it back and says, so, you know, why do you want to hear it again? If you want to become his disciples? Well, that's just an honest question, you might say, but that just would have infuriated them. Here they are trying to debunk Jesus' divinity, you might say, and this man is just flipping it right around on them. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. For we are Moses' disciples. Well, you know, this crowd, they did the same thing when they were after Stephen some years down the road, eh? And Stephen gave his tremendous oration. You know, he said, hey, you're just like your father. Your hearts are hard and you're not listening to me. You know, because they were not of the Lord. They were not of the true children of God. As our Lord said to them on different times, you're of your father, the devil. Well, you know, when he challenged them, you going to be his disciples? They basically were condemning themselves. When they started mocking him and making fun of him, they're really ridiculing our Lord Jesus Christ, saying that we don't want to be his disciples. Well, you know, when he said to the man, you are his disciple, well, he wasn't quite yet, but he's awful close. And he will be before this is all over. You know, when people see the difference between the religious systems and our Lord Jesus Christ, then they can say, hey, we don't want that phony stuff. We want the real thing. You know, when the Muslims were riding over in Indonesia, in Jakarta, you know, a while ago, you know, 15, 20 years ago, we had friends over there. You know, pastor and his wife had a little small church, and they were hidden by the moderate Muslims, so they wouldn't be killed, and they would have been if they'd been caught, because many thousands of the Christians were killed over there. But many of the moderate Muslims, when they saw the fanaticism of the hardline Muslims, they said, no, we don't want this. And a lot of them got saved as a result of that. It would be good to see that happen again. You know, the people who just are not the hardliners. In fact, they say only 10% of them are. But you see, they are the fanatic ones. And the people in greatest danger for them are not Jews and Christians, even though they do want to get rid of us. Those they go after first are the moderate Muslims. They want to either beat them into submission or to kill them. And you see that going on all over the world in various places. You even see it over here in North America with their so-called honor killings. They just finished a case where a man, a refugee from Afghanistan, killed his first wife and three of their daughters because they weren't following the steps of their religion. You know? There's no room for that in biblical Christianity. That is just disgusting. And they were found guilty. First degree murder, given 25 years, and now they're appealing it. You know. Anyways, we could get on that, but that's another subject for another day. Well, these religious experts, they say, we are Moses' disciples. Well, now, if they were Moses' disciples, why don't they try following the Ten Commandments? You know, are they honoring God? No, they have the Son of God right in front of them. And some of them do know that he is the Son of God because of all the miracles our Lord Jesus did. He had to be the Messiah. There's no one else. You know, our Lord has some interesting verses on that. You know, John 10:37. This is what our Lord Jesus was saying. John 10:37-38. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, then, or though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. This is what our Lord Jesus said. You know, if you don't want to believe what I'm saying, well, believe me for what I've done. That's John 10:37-38. Some good verses to remember. In fact, that will be in the next chapter that we get along to there. But you see, they weren't willing to believe our Lord for the works that he did. So they weren't Moses' true disciples. You can go through most of the other Ten Commandments and you could find that they were breaking them there as well too. You know, that's one thing about off-base religion. While holding up the law for everybody else, they turn a blind eye to it themselves. They think they have kind of a divine, you know, do what you want card, or get out of jail free card. And they can do whatever they want. It happens in many religions like that. That's why our Lord said, be wary of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. They do what they say, but don't do what they do. And, you know, there's a lot going on with that, you know, such as the debate that's going on down in the States over, you know, who pays contraception, etc. And the Roman Catholic Church is trying to make this a big rallying cry, you know, to get favor back in the public, you know, and they're trying to say how offensive it is to their people. Well, apparently Pelosi said last week, she said, well, 98% of Catholic women do use birth control. You know, that's the kind of hypocrisy that's in that religious system. The leaders try to say one thing, and of course they don't live everything they say. And the people do the complete opposite. Like, why then do they go through that religious system if they're not going to follow the teachings? That is called hypocrisy. Yeah. And hypocrisy is not supposed to be part of our faith. You know, Christians are supposed to say what we do and do what we say. That's what biblical Christianity is supposed to be about. Well, and we go down in verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Well, as they say, we know that God spake to Moses. Oh yeah, many times. In fact, the Bible says God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he didn't do that to anyone else, it said. That's how close a relationship Moses had with the Lord. And that's a fantastic close relationship to have. You know, there's a lot of people out there today who say they have the same thing. But when you look at their life, you go, well, if you're that close to our Lord, why is your life going the complete opposite way? You know, I'm not doubting they see something, but you know, it's not the real Lord Jesus. So they have a familiar spirit. And some of them, it is so vivid that it even appears to them, like, almost like they're right there with them. And they're deceived. Yeah, that's just a familiar spirit. And if we took a look at how many people had familiar spirits in society, it would be amazing to see how many. Well, as they said, as for this fellow, we know not where he is from. Well, you see, that is another slur on the parentage of our Lord Jesus. They're they always get a little dig in there. You know, that, oh yeah, your mother was pregnant before your parents were married, huh? Naughty, naughty. Well, you do know that there is what's called the curse of the bastard, eh? That the bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. And, to my knowledge, they didn't bring that up to him directly, but I'm sure they always had it in the back of their mind. They're sort of like, and who do you think you are? We know about you. Well, the man is not backing down. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You know, this really had to be God giving the man these things to say. I mean, he's a pretty sharp fellow, and he's not backing down. You know, given all the pressure that has been put on him and extreme mind control, yeah. That's another thing about these religions. They have a form of extreme mind control. And if you come across somebody who is just forcing their stuff on you, even in a kind of a counterfeit deliverance, they break off their mind control and their end time mind control on you, because if you don't, you'll come under a lot of pressure. You don't want that. You don't want what they got. Now, this man is able to stand up. They cannot control him. And he says the obvious. Well, it's a marvelous thing we have here. You do not know where he is from. Yet he hath opened my eyes. Now, you tie this in with a few verses before when they're trying to say that our Lord Jesus was a sinner, etc., etc. The man is sort of bringing back upon them, well, he opened my eyes, guys, you couldn't. He had compassion on me, you didn't. You know, and it was just going on and on and on, and they just didn't really want to put up with it. Because there are others around, and every time he speaks, he's making them look like the fools they are. You know, and you can just hear them boiling with rage. And they're just going to break forth very shortly. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And the man says the obvious here. God does not hear the sinners. You know, the first prayer God wants to hear from everybody is the sinner's prayer, coming to him through the shed blood, through our Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. That's right. That's the first prayer God wants to hear from people. You know, you hear people say, well, I've made peace with God. Well, did you get saved through his son, Jesus Christ? Oh, no, we don't need you. Well, then you're not saved. And for others to say that, you know, you don't have to be changed in your heart and then your mind, you know, like our Lord says, you have to love me with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul. Others say with your strength as well, too. It's got to start in the heart. And if people say you don't need to be changed in your heart, well, it kind of goes against what Elijah prayed in 1 Kings 18 and what our Lord said on different occasions. You see, it's not a mental exercise. You know, Abraham had faith in God. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It wasn't just a mental acknowledgement. Yeah, okay, there's a God out there. This is, yeah. There is a true and living God, you see, because Abraham was an idol worshiper just like everyone else was. Except God would appear to him someday, Abraham. Actually, he just said it was Abraham at that point, before his name was changed. He said, come out of there. You're going to go over to Canaan. I got a plan for you. So him and his family, you know, his father started off with them and got part way. And, you know, if Abraham didn't believe what God had told him that he was God, he wouldn't have said, well, what am I going to go, like, you know, but I don't know if it was 1,000 miles, but it was a good distance, and it was on foot. It took a long time to get there. And, well, Abraham believed, and he went, and he was rewarded. Well, you know, the man says that anyone is a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he hears him. And it's also tied in 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. God was telling Solomon in a dream, you know, if you follow me, I'll bless you, but if you or the nation after you departs from sins, then I have to punish you. And he said, went on to say that you're going to have to confess your sins. You're going to have to turn from your wicked ways, then I'll hear you, forgive your sins and heal your land. You know, too many people are, oh, sure, they'll confess their sins, but they're only sorry that they got caught. They're not sorry that they did it. And, you know, these high-profile cases of politicians or media people, entertainment industry, sports figures. You know, is there really a changed life? How many of them actually get saved and turn from their life of sin? I don't think a whole many of them do. I remember there was that golfer there some years ago, I believe the name of Stuart Payne, you know, he always would go around and, you know, have people think, well, what would Jesus do about that? What would Jesus do in this instance? Remember, he was in a plane traveling, they had a decompression sleep there, and I guess everybody just faded into unconsciousness because the oxygen leaked out of the cabin at high altitude, and the plane was on autopilot there for going all across the states, I guess, till it came down. Well, verse 32. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Well, you know, he says a lot of truth here. You know, you go through the whole Old Testament, you're not going to see a whole lot of people who were made to see. There were a couple of people who were raised from the dead, Elijah and Elisha. There was a case of someone who was actually brought back to life, and he was his body was put in the same grave as Elisha, and the power of God was still radiating so much through there that he was brought back to life again. But other than this, you would say, well, what about in 2 Kings 6 with Elisha, the Syrian army? Yeah, well, they were struck blind by God, and they were also healed again, too. We're talking about someone who was born blind from birth, as this man was saying there. Well, and that's the challenge to the religious people. You know, what do you have to say? Why don't you do these kinds of things? And, you know, it'd be a good question to put all these religious people out there who like to say Christians can't have demons. Okay, well, what are you doing to help the people then? You know, or how many people in your congregation have committed suicide because you told them there was no help for them except go to a psychiatrist, get hardened out. You know, our Lord Jesus didn't do that to people, he healed them. And the church today should be healing the people. I'm not saying stay away from doctors, but first we should ask our Lord for help for healing. And then if nothing happens in a reasonable amount of time, whatever it is, then we seek out medical attention. But, you know, there are some who deny their children insulin, thinking that God was going to heal them. Well, no, that's wrong. And they rightly so should have been charged in court because their children died because of their negligence as parents. We're not talking about that. You know, if someone does have a a God-given gift of miraculous healing? Well, then let them go around and heal people. So why don't they start with the vets that come back, you know, missing limbs and having all sorts of psychological problems there. Because many things happened over there. I'd like to see the vets get set free. I'm sure everybody else would too. You don't hear too many of that going on. Nope, they're just too busy going around trying to get all your money out of your pocket. Best thing is, have nothing to do with them. I remember in India many years ago, there was one of these faith healers who went over and pronounced a whole bunch of people healed. And when they weren't, the mob rushed the stage and they would have torn them for limb to limb if the Indian police hadn't intervened and saved his life and then kicked him out of the country. You know, they weren't controlled. You know, but when you are afflicted like this man here in this chapter, you know what you're going through, and you're not going to play religious games. Yeah. And as he says, you know, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And that's really what it is. You see, these religious people were not of God, and that's why they couldn't do anything. I mean, the man was saying it, sort of supporting our Lord Jesus Christ, but every time he's doing that, it is like pouring burning coals upon the heads of these religious people because they couldn't do it. Because they were not of God. And he was showing them up in his innocence in front of the whole crowd. And they just hate it. Because here was one who was not learned in the scripture like they were, and yet he was just exposing them left, right, and center. You know, that was one of the criticisms of our Lord Jesus, you know. Hey, Brad, you were in all this stuff. You didn't go to schools like we did. You know what? Neither did the disciples, the original apostles. So they spent 3 years with our Lord Jesus, and that plus the Holy Spirit after, kept them on course. Because these religious people here are not born again. They don't have the Spirit of the Lord working in them. Well, they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us, and they cast them out. You know, this is how the argument goes, eh? They can't come back against his common sense argument. So they are going to try and knock him down. They're saying, you're the one who were born in sin. Well, he knew that he was a sinner. He also knew that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had set him free from his blindness. And here is the arrogancy of the religious elite. Who do you think you are to tell us what the Word of God says? Well, you run into that in, you know, many circumstances. You know, where people who say Christians can't have demons, and then they, you know, go on to say, well, how can the Holy Spirit reside in a body that has demons? Well, you can tell them, well, go back to Ezekiel chapter 8, that's Ezekiel's vision of the temple, that the glory of God, the presence of the Lord, was still in the Holy of Holies, in spite of all the garbage that was going on, the idolatry and everything that was going on outside. But the presence of the Lord is still there. It's amazing. So if it can happen in the Old Testament, and the temple, the old temple then is symbolic of what we are now with the three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And so if, you know, the Holy Spirit can be in us, remember it's in our spirit, cleaned it up, sealed under the day of redemption, we can be there with demons in. And as we want to get the demons out, he will only be too quiet to push them out. But he won't do it over our will. We have to want to get rid of them, or pastor, he used to say you have to fall out of agreement with them. Well, they have basically admitted defeat here. They can't come up with any arguments. They can't bring up anything that the man doesn't just skirt right around them and pour it back on themselves. So what can they do? Well, they cast him out. They excommunicate him. It's basically what it is. Now, depending on which part of the meaning of the word cast out, you take it goes from, very gentle to very severe. They could have picked him up physically and thrown him out of the temple, or they could have just said, get out of here because you're excommunicated from our Jewish community. You're not allowed to come into the temple, etc., etc. Well, whatever it was, they didn't want to have any more to do with him because same with Lazarus. His being around would have been an advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They didn't want that, so they figured, hey, we'll just bar him from our fellowship. We won't let him in here. Well, so verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Well, our Lord Jesus says, he's going to make up now. Let the other religious people have let slide through. You know, they supposedly were representing God, and they kicked him out. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, who had set him free from his blindness, is now going to reveal himself as the Messiah to him. He's going to get a special treat. So our Lord finds him. He comes back to him. He notices that he found him. He was looking for him. And there's the analogy of our Lord as the good shepherd going to look for the one sheep that's lost. And he says to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? The Son of Man. The Son of God. Do you believe in the Messiah? Well, they'd all been waiting for the return of the Messiah. The religious people then thought he was going to come back as the conquering king, going to throw all the Romans out and set up everything proper the way it should be. Well, there was also other prophecies that said he was going to come as a suffering servant, but who wants that? Well, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Yes. The man says, who is he, Lord? And he knew that something tremendous had happened. And he was wanting to get right with God. You see, because God had given his life back to him. And he was wanting to serve him with his entire being. That's why I said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And that's what everybody is faced with today. Who do you say the Lord Jesus Christ is? Because your eternal destiny depends on that. I know there's a lot of confusion out there. Some people say, how can you tell one Jesus from another? There's just so many of them. Well, I know there are so many of them. The devil has done that deliberately to confuse people. Well, when they ask me, I say, well, the one I believe in, he's the one, the Son of God, who's coming someday soon on a great white charger out of heaven. And he's going to go to Armageddon. He's going to put down all wickedness and set up his 1,000-year rule, and etc., etc. That's the Lord Jesus Christ we serve, the Son of the true and living God. All these other parts, the demons, the master Jesuses of the New Age, the false Jesuses of the other religions. Even Islam, they say they believe that Jesus was a prophet, but Muhammad was better than him. Well, sorry. My Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and living God, is better than anybody and everybody put together. Yes, he is the Messiah. And so this man wanted a closer relationship with the Lord. And so Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Well, our Lord Jesus is following up. You see, the man has been prepared. His heart has been turned back. Again, 1 Kings 18. And he has seen the power of God by him being healed, and also by the religious experts being shut down. And our Lord, so when our Lord says, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you, yes, the man has, well, we don't know his name. We're deliberately not told his name. But he's been given a special blessing. Personalized treatment from our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord has revealed himself to him. The Messiah, the Son of the living God. You've seen him, and you're talking with him. What a tremendous blessing that was. Well, the man knows that he is the Son of God, as he had told previously the religious people. So what's he going to do now? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. You know, this is the end result of the, you might say, a successful evangelical campaign. Not using high-pressure techniques, not using mind control, not using emotional control, you know, with Christian rock or whatever it is, and a lot of New Age stuff in there to pump people up. No, this is one-on-one ministry. The Lord ministered to him. He was set free, and now he knows, yes, Lord, I believe in you are the Son of God. And he worshiped him. There probably had to be some other people around. And that really would have affected them. It would have just drove the religious people just literally crazy. And the other people whom he had helped, and you can be sure there were others he had helped, you know, previous chapter, chapter 5, the man who was 38 years paralyzed, couldn't walk, was in the temple, he got healed too. You know, I'm sure he was going around telling people, hey, the man called Jesus healed me. There probably were hundreds of people like that in Jerusalem, and that was just driving the religious people nuts. You know, it's just like, why don't they be quiet? Yeah, you know, wouldn't it be nice to see a massive outpouring of God's Holy Spirit with that kind of power, godly power? We read about when Peter went around in places, people would line up in the streets in case his shadow fell upon them to get healed. You know, God's just waiting for people to dedicate themselves to him enough that he will pour out enough of his Holy Spirit. And it's not ourselves that do. We don't take any credit for it. All we say is we're worthless servants. We're just honored to serve our Lord. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Or as it says, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Now this is interesting here, brother. The Lord, as it says, bring in his judgment. Well, there's a few other places you can check him out and see. What did our Lord do twice in the temple? Once at the beginning of his ministry and, you know, once at the end. So he went through and he cleaned out all the wicked stuff was there. He drove out, you know, the sellers of doves, the those of the livestock, and the money changers. He said, My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Get out of here. You know, he did it the first. And a few years later, they were there again. I'm sure they came back the very next day, if not later that day, but that's what our Lord was doing. It. He was exposing their wickedness. And, you know, at the end, he said that before the crucifixion, he was outside Jerusalem, and he predicted, he foretold them what was going to happen about the judgment that was going to come. You know, all the blood of the slain prophets are going to be brought down on this generation. And 40 years later, bang, Rome came in, and they killed about a million and a quarter people, and they took the rest, fair number of them as slaves, sent them all over the known world, the salt mines of Egypt and other places. You know, for those that want to turn against our Lord, want to play games in the religious system, they better be careful, because our Bible does say judgment begins in the house of God. And, you know, we don't want to see anybody fall out of favor with God, but for those who have so hardened their hearts, they do really need to be watchful, because our Lord is not going to let this stuff continue to defame his holy name. And that's what they're doing. They are defaming the name of our Lord. It wasn't that something God had against David, because he said, hey, you've given occasion to the ungodly to mock my name, what you did with Bathsheba. And you know, that wasn't good. Well, what's going on today? How the leaders are abusing God's people is not good either. You know, you want some passages dealing with ungodly pastors. So there's Jeremiah 23 and there's Ezekiel 34. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the big one I would say is Matthew 23. That's where 8 times our Lord says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And then he goes on to lamb based on real good. Yep. Our Lord was exposing the wickedness and deals with it. And he said, you know, for judgment, he's come into this world. He is exposing the wickedness and he's dealing. He said, this is wrong. And part of the ways he's doing it, those that have been cast aside by the self-righteous, he's revealing himself to them. They are getting set free. They are getting saved, healed, and delivered. And as he says, that those who couldn't see are being able to see, not just physically, but spiritually. And that those which claim to see spiritually, that they might be made blind as if they can't see. And we still have that bunch around today. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Yeah. You know, it's just like parable of a good Samaritan. You know, our Lord gave that because there was one guy who was trying to justify himself that he was so good. So our Lord brought this out. You know, who was his neighbor? Well, the one who helped him. And so they're trying to justify themselves. Are we blind? I mean, we are the experts of the law. We know what we're talking about. Like, who are you? And, you know, you run into those bunch who, when they look at, you know, deliverance people, they say, oh, you don't have all the university degrees that we do. You don't know anything. Well, we're serving the Lord with what he would have us do. So, if having a whole ton of degrees makes the other people happy, well, so be it. But it's really our Lord saying to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Not that, oh, your degrees are nice. I don't know. God wants his people to serve him. And some he uses with academic skills, and others he doesn't. because he says he will use the poor and the simple to confound the wise. And if we are the kind of people our Lord wants to use us, they praise his name, just keep on using us. Doesn't matter to us if we're not like the others. Because our Lord Jesus finishes with them, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You know, these people, it's just like the example of the, as our Lord said, I've only come to heal the sick. The well, they don't need healing. Well, these people thought themselves, well, are you okay? You know, they said, hey, we're Moses' offspring. We follow him and his teachings. You know, we're the children of Abraham. And our Lord said, well, if you were, you would have been like Abraham. He enjoyed to see me in my day. But you don't. So, as our Lord said, you know, if you were blind, if you knew you were not saved, remember the beginning of the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of heaven. If somebody doesn't recognize that they're a sinner, and that their sins are going to go and send them to hell, well, then why would they want to turn, convicted of their sins, to our Lord Jesus Christ and calling out for forgiveness? You know, people think they're okay. Well, isn't that the modern psychological movement? You know, I'm okay, you're okay. Just puff people up with a bit more self-esteem and, oh, you're okay, no problem. Except it's not okay in God's sight. You know, when Paul said, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, like he knows what he's talking about. Who are these modern religious people or other people? Who do they think they are? They're certainly not the Son of God. They're not a worker of our Lord Jesus Christ. Probably most of them aren't even born again. You take a look at the beginning of a psychological movement and you'll see most of the early people had their stuff given to them by spirits. They channeled demons to give them their philosophies and their stuff. They just sat there and wrote them down. Well, I would much rather use the Word of God. That's probably why they're so opposed to biblical Christianity, especially deliverance, because they know it will expose them. Well, they just keep charging ahead. Because we know where we've been, we know what our Lord Jesus has done for us, and we do want to continue to serve him the best we can. As for the others, the religious people, well, as our Lord said, they see, they think they're okay, therefore their sins remain. Because if they don't come to our Lord confessing their sins, they're not going to get born again, and they will not get into heaven. That's all it is to them. They can argue that with God up at the great white throne, but they're not going to get them anywhere. That's for sure. So, we were able to see how our Lord ministered unto this man through this whole chapter 9 here. And it's good to see, because, you know, it instills hope in people that just as our Lord helped people yesterday, you know, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he just wants us to call out unto him, and he says, you call out unto me, and I will answer. I would like to thank everybody for joining me here today as we study the Word of God. Aren't there so many blessings and promises in it that God has for us? But the best one he has is eternal life. It's free, and it's offered to everybody. I would challenge everybody to examine themselves, as Paul said, to see if they be in the faith. And if things are lacking, there's no better day than today, because today is the day of salvation. I know the devil will tell you, you don't have to do it. You don't have to win anything. Well, says Romans 14:12, everybody is going to have to give account of themselves. Everybody. And in case the devil tries to say, you're not that bad. Well,
Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But being good is not good enough. You have to be godly. And you can only do it through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our Lord shows us there's two options. Again, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. That's the way it is. There's two choices. It's God's way or it's the other way. The other way is no good. You don't want that. I don't want to see anyone go that way, but you know, because of the sin of Adam, that's where humanity is going. Everybody is going that road until they get born again. You say, well, is it really like that? Well, you know, there's Romans 6:23. Yeah. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. You know, that's followed up a Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. So, what's it going to be? I want the best for everybody. You want to maximize your manhood or your womanhood? You got to do it the way our Lord Jesus Christ does. You know, the Holy Spirit is working in each and every one, convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So what are you going to do? You're going to turn away? The devil's best lie is, don't do it today. Do it tomorrow. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. You can get saved an hour before you die. Those people who go that road, they usually never get around to it because many times they die suddenly and they just don't have time for that. I don't want to see that happen to anybody. You know, if you had the winning multi-million-dollar ticket, you would be running down to collect it immediately. You know, that's what eternal life is. It's better than that because it can't be taxed. Your bank's not going to go under and take your money. Your treasure's in heaven. You're going to collect everything when you go to be there. But you know, you got to confess your sins. You got to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Call upon Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, He's knocking the door of your heart, as it says in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will enter and come in with him. Yes. The Lord is waiting for you to invite Him in. You say, well, what happens when I do that? Well, God's Holy Spirit will come into you upon salvation, will clean up your spirit, and will seal you under the day of redemption. Yes, right. You know, when you leave this world because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be up in heaven forever and ever and ever. You're not going to be floating around in nothingness. No purgatory. You go to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing that is. And it is eternal security because of John 10:27-28, where our Lord Himself says, nobody can take you out of my Father's hand. Nobody can take you out of my hand. Nobody's greater than us, our Lord said. You can take that to the bank. So what are you going to do? Our Lord Jesus Christ is calling you today. Come. Matthew 11:28-30. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Aren't you tired of all that's going on in the world? Aren't you tired of leading a defeated life? Why not come to our Lord Jesus Christ? He shed His blood for you on Calvary's cross. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want this everlasting life, a little simple prayer, just like a little child can do. Lord Jesus Christ, if I have never really asked You into my heart and into my life, I'm asking you here now to come in and to save me from all my sins. And when you do that, your sins are forgiven. Your name's written in the book of life. And as Romans 8 says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is given to you through Christ Jesus. Nothing. Yes, your spirit seals. And when you leave here, you go to be with our Lord forever. And in this life, God's Holy Spirit will work in you, helping you to mortify the flesh, helping you to be more like Jesus so you can do the works of Jesus, so you can be more glorifying to our Heavenly Father. Where can you get a better deal like that? Just ain't one around. So again, I urge you today, before it is too late, seek out the Lord. For those who are born again that have fallen by the wayside, confess your sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Your sins that you've committed, sins, will be forgiven. I urge you, seek it out. Do not delay. Be diligent in it. Our Lord has His loving arms open to you. He wants you to come back into the fold. So again, may the Lord grant you the grace and the mercy and peace to be able to follow through this, because it's the best thing that will ever happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.